Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shlomo Nyman le'ilui nishmas HaRav Yaakov ben Matisyahu.
Pesachim daf kuf gimel. The Gemara is trying to figure out what the proper seder of Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah is when Yom Tov is Chal Achra Shabbos. The Rashbam points out that the Gemara does not make any mention of the din of Besamim. Says the Rashbam on the bottom of Kuf Beis Mabeis, Lefi She'ein Mevarchin Ala Besamim B'Yom Tov Shari Gam B'Yom Tov Yesh Lanu Neshama Yaseiru K'Shabbos. There is no bracha of Besamim when Yom Tov comes right after Shabbos, because in Yom Tov we also have a Neshama Yaseiru. Toisfis in Dibra Maschel, Rav Amr Yakna says, "Uma she'ein masker b'som pirush Rashbam, the tam b'som b'shem ibud neshama yaseiru, v'yam tef nami ikin neshama yaseiru." Asks Tosef is a very simple question. V'kasha dim kein b'moitzah yom tef amaylo tekinu b'somim. If you tell me that on yom tef we also have a neshama yaseiru, so why don't we see that there's a takana of b'somim when it's matzah yom tef going into chol? Then we should have b'somim to appease the neshama yaseiru, value of the nefesh. So Tosfos disagrees with the Rashbam. They say lekach nir de b'yom tov lek neshama yaseira. Tosfos holds there is no neshama yaseira on yom tov, and the reason why we don't say b'samim when yom tov follows Shabbos is because simchas yom tov v'achil v'shtiyah moil k'moy b'samim. In order to comfort the person because he lost his neshama yaseira, it's enough to have the simchas yom tov v'achil v'shtiyah that takes the place of b'samim. However, the Rashbam holds that there is a neshama yaseira on Yom Tov, and we have to ask Tosfos this question. Why then, according to the Rashbam, don't we have Besamim on a regular Yom Tov? Now the Ran gives a teretz as to why we don't say Besamim, and that is because it's only when you're going from Shabbos to Chol. Shabbos is a menucha shlema. You have total menucha even from Aleches Eichel Nefesh, and when the person goes from a menucha shlema to Amal Gadol, to Yemei HaChol, where he has complete Belacha, then he needs Hanachas Nefesh with Besamim. However, when you go from Yom Tov, which you actually do Malacha, there's Meleches Eichel Nefesh that's Mutter on Yom Tov. When you go from Yom Tov to Chol, there's less of a change from your Malacha like you have by Shabbos. You're only going from some bit of Malacha to Amal Gadol. Then you don't need the same Hanachas Nefesh like you do on Shabbos. So that's also the reason why when you go from Shabbos to Yom Tov, when there's not such an extreme and drastic change, you're going from total bit of Malacha to also bittul malacha, just not bittul of all malacha, it's not going to an amal gadol, then you don't need the menuchas hanefesh that you need on a regular Shabbos. And this svara also appears in the Tshuvas HaRashba Chelek Gimel Siman Reish Tzadik. He says, V'yesh mefarshim neshama yaseira dahainu ha-menucha v'ha-oinik sha-nefesh moitza b'Shabbos ki'ilu hi neshama yaseira. A person experiences menucha and oinik as if ki'ilu hi neshama yaseira uch she'oivra mimenu v'nichtas v'mei ha-toirach v'ha-inui ki'ilu of the man in Neshama Yaseira, v'hu nechlash, the person becomes weakened because he passes from a time of Menucha to a time of Amal and Torah and Inui. And he says, "Lefi pirish zeh b'Shabbos hu sheni tois v'boi neshama b'pnei shu yom menucha va'afilu memeleches eichel nefesh ma'she'en ke b'yomtiv." It's only Shabbos that the person feels a total rest, and he's not passing from total rest to total terech v'inoy. That's when the person needs b'samim. But when he goes from yomtiv to choil, it's not the same level of change. That definitely does not seem to be, though, what the Rashbam means. The Rashbam says that there is a neshama yaseira on yomtiv. This seems to be a big machloikis. The Shaus Jewish Radvaz Chiluk Beis Siman Tofrei Shchof, he says very clearly that ain neshama yaseira b'yomtiv. Although the Sharizera asks on him in Beitza Daf Tezayin Amar Aleph from the Zera Kodesh, the Zera says in the Rai Mehemna Parshas Tzav Daf Chof Tes Amar Aleph and in Parshas Pinchas Reish Men Beis Amar Beis that there is a neshama yaseira on yomtiv. So this is a big problem. Tosfos tells us that there is no neshama yaseira b'yomtiv. The Rashbam says there is. It seems that the Zohar Kodesh says that there is a neshama yaseira. The Ben Ish Chai tries to be miyashiv the question by saying in his Pirush the Tikkuni Zohar Daf Mem Hema Beis, he says that there is no neshama yaseira b'yomtiv. There's a ha'ara noisefes, some extra ora that the neshama is mekabel on yomtiv, and that's considered like a neshama yaseira. He says the same ha'ara you get during the Musaf on Rish Chodesh and Chol HaMoed as well. In the Shaios HaTshuvos, Kiryas Chana David, in Siman Nun Aleph, he wants to be Miyashiv the Rashbam as follows. He says that there's a chilik between Yom Tov that follows Shabbos and a regular Yom Tov. Ein Achanami, on a regular Yom Tov, you don't have a summum after Yom Tov because there is no Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov. Masha'enkein, in our sugya, where the Rashbam says that there's no besamim when you go from Shabbos to Yom Tif, because, says the Rashbam, there is the Neshama Yisera on Yom Tif, he means to say that when Yom Tif follows Shabbos, the Neshama Yisera stays with the person. However, that terence does not work well with what we just quoted from the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Tzav and Parshas Pinchas. There's no distinction between Yom Tov that follows Shabbos and Yom Tov that follows the day of Chol. Furthermore, according to his terence, it should come out that Einach Anami, we don't make the Bracham Summim when you go from Shabbos to Yom Tov because the Neshama Yisera stays with the person, but it should come out that when a person leaves Yom Tov that followed Shabbos, and Matzah Yom Tov, you should then have to have a Summim because then the Neshama Yisera is going to leave the person. So if we are to understand that the Rashbam, when he says that there is a Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov, is coming from the Zohar HaKadosh, which says clearly that there's a Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov, then we have to understand how does the Rashbam answer Tosfos' question. Tosfos asks that if there's a Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov, then why is it that normally when you leave a Yom Tov, you don't have to have besamim? So this question we can answer based on the Emunah B'Tochen, which is Miyuchas to the Ramban, in Perikov Aleph, and this is quoted by the Sefer Shem Yishmuel in numerous places, including in Shavuos Tafresh Pei Aleph, that is on page Kufchav Zayin. He says, the Ramban, or the Miyuchas to Ramban, it's pretty clear that it's not the Ramban, but the Emunah B'Tochen says that although the Neshama Yisera leaves a person after Shabbos, the Neshama Yisera that joins a person during Yom Tov does not leave the person. The Shem Yishmuel explains over there, B'Shem his father, the Avnei Nezer, that the reason for this difference is because Shabbos is kviya v'kaima, it's above the tfisa of a person. It's not dependent on Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are not mekadesh the Shabbos. Shabbos is kviya v'kaima, meaning that it is set, it is steady, and it's not like it is dependent on us to be mekadeshit. Therefore, when Mitzvah Shabbos comes, so we leave the dimension of Shabbos, which is a totally higher dimension, and we lose the Neshama Yisera. Masha'enkin by Yom Tov, he says that Bezdin is Mekadeshit, and therefore we have a Tfisa in it. It's something that's Shayach to us, it's something that's generated through human intervention. Since we're the ones that bring it about, it's Shayach to our world, and we don't lose the Neshama Yisera, and the Kedusha of Yom Tov remains with us after the Yom Tov. The Gemara brings down several shittas explaining what the order should be when a person is making avdalah when Shabbos goes into Yom Tov. The first variable, of course, is whether Kiddush should come before avdalah or avdalah should come before Kiddush. And that is Machlokes Rav Shmuel. After that, we have other variables, which is, number one, where should we put the bracha of Ner? There are some shittas that hold that Ner should be the first one because you're Nen Etchila. Other shittas hold Ner should be situated in between Havdalah and Kiddush. It's not right to have Havdalah next to Kiddush. And another variable is Yayin, when we should have the bracha on Yayin. Should it be in the beginning, like it ordinarily is? Should we, for various reasons, be ma'achrit, like the Gemara and the Rashbam explains at each step? We have to ask, though, the following question. In the Gemara, it says, Shalach le avu adishmol le Rebbe, ilamdenu rabbeinu, seder Havdalah zeich. Shalach le kach, amar Rabbi Shmol bar Rabbi Yosi, shamar shem Aviv, Sham Rishum Rishub and Chananya, Ner Havdalah Yayin Kiddush. So the order of Rishub and Chananya is that you first say Ner, then Havdalah. So Havdalah comes before Kiddush, and Yayin is inserted in between Havdalah and Kiddush. Says Rib Chanina, Mashal der Rishub and Chananya, Le Melech She Yoitze, Va Afarchus Nichnes, Melavenes HaMelech, Va Achach Yoitzim, Likras Afarchus. The Afarchus is somebody who is on a lower level than the Melech. Now in the Melech, you want to be Malav the Melech. First you deal with being Malav the Melech, escorting him out of the city. And then the Afarchus, the person who is an official who is on a lower level, he comes in and then you give him his attention. And it seems what he's trying to say is that that's the reason why you should first have Avdalah. Shabbos is of a greater Kedusha, and therefore you're first Malava Shabbos out. After Shabbos leaves, then you bring in Yom Tov, which is on a lower level. The question is, though, that this wasn't the first time that we heard a shita that held that Havdalah comes before Kiddush. Right in the beginning of the Gemara, we had the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav said, Yayin Kiddush, Ner Havdalah, so Kiddush comes before Havdalah. Shmuel says, Yayin Ner Havdalah, Kiddush, which means that he holds that Havdalah comes before Kiddush. And the Rashbam back there on the Sheet of Shmuel actually brings down the Mashal that the Gemara later says, according to Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, that Havdalah should be before Kiddush because of this Mashal. So why does the Gemara wait to give this Mashal until the Sheet of Rabbi Shua ben Chananya? We could have said it right away when we introduced Sheet of Shmuel. in the Agoyis of Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horovitz, he asks this question, and he explains that there's a difference between Shita Shmuel and the Shita of Rabbi Shubar Chananya. Because according to Shmuel, we understand that since the bracha on Yayin comes before both Avdalah and Kiddush, we understand that since we're being Misadar, Kiddush and Havdalah, over the same Kais Yayin, it makes sense, according to this Shita, to first have Havdalah and then Yayin, because the Havdalah is escorting Shabbos out, and the Kiddush is welcoming Yom Tif in. When you're using the same Shar, the same gate to the city, then it's Pashit that you first escort the king out, and only then you make way for this Afarchus. However, in Rabbi Yeshua Bar Chananya's version, what happens is that you're not really using the same shar, the same gate, because the Havdalah doesn't involve the Birkas Hayayin, because according to him, the Birkas Hayayin comes after Havdalah. Since according to him, the Birkas Hayayin is after Havdalah, and as the Rashbam explains, Iker Havdalah, they were not Misakin al Hayayin, so Havdalah does precede the Kiddush, but it's not being done through the same shar, so to speak. So you still need to add to the mashal, because we have to know that even when they're not coming through the same shar, you're not using the same means to generate both the Havdalah and the Kiddush, you're first escorting the Melech out through one means, through one shar, which in our case is not the Birkas Hayayin, it is standing on its own, it's after the Birkas Haner, and then afterwards you're using a different means, a different shar, which is the Yayin, to bring in the Yom Tif, you still need to give attention first to the Melech, and then afterwards to the Afarchis. The Gemara relates that Rabbi Yankev Bar Abba went to visit Rava, and he saw that Rava was making a bracha, akasa kama, on the first kais. Now that would seem to be the kais of Kiddush. V'hadar baruch akasa de birchsa, and afterwards, when it came to birchsa mazin, he made another baruch pre-agafen on the kais of birchsa mazin. V'ishti. Amalei, he said to him, Lamalach kuli hai, why must you make a bracha on the kais of birchsa mazin? Habaruch lan mar chadazim, you already made a bracha one time. Amalei, so he answered him, Ki avinam beirish galusa hachi avdinan. This is what we used to do when we were in the beirish galusa. Amalei, he said to him, Tainach beirish galusa. I understand in the beirish galusa, when the person is having a suda by the reish galusa, he has to make a new bracha when he gets a kais after the first kais. The suffik maisilon, suffik loy maisilon. One is never sure if he's going to get another kais. There's machlokes Rashbam and Tosfos if that means that they were not sure that they were going to get a kais after birkas hamazon, or even the kais shebesoy chasuda. The Tosfos brings down in Derumaschal Lehavi Adisu that he understands from the Rashbam that he learns that they weren't even sure if they're going to get yayin in the middle of the suda. And Tosfos argues in that he says, no, of course you get yayin in the middle of the suda in the base reish galusa. However, you don't know if you're going to get to drink from the kais of birkas hamazon. In any case, that's the justification for having to make a new bracha when you're in the Beirish Kalusa. But hacha over here, hamanach kasa kamon. We know you have a kais in front of you, daitani lave, and your das is on that kais because you have a kais set up for birkas hamazon and you plan on drinking it. So why would you have to make a new bracha at the end of benching when you drink the kais shel birkas hamazon? Now what's confusing about this Gemara is that in our Gemara you see that the uncertainty that a person has when he's in the Beirish Kalusa, he's a guest by the Reish Kalusa, it makes it that any kais that is brought in front of him is seen like a surprise, and since he wasn't expecting it, he has to make a new bracha. However, from the Gemara in Brachas in Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, it would seem the exact opposite. Over there, the Gemara's mashma that the dependency that a person has on the Reish Kalusa would generate a ptur from making a bracha. The Gemara says over there as follows. Rav of Reb Zeri Iklu Lubei Reish Kalusa. They went to visit the Reish Kalusa's house. Lubasar de Saliku Taka Mikamayu. After the taka, which is the plate or the table that had the food for the suda on it, was removed, so the suda seemingly was over. Shadru lehu ristanam ibei reish kalusa. They sent them to Rava and Reb Zeira some delicacies, hors d'oeuvres from the bei reish kalusa, for them to, I suppose, have some sort of dessert. Rava achil, Reb Zeira lo yachil. Rava ate, and Reb Zeira did not eat. Amar le lo sover lamar silik aser milechol. In the sugya over there, it's mavur that once you take away the table, once the table is cleared, it's understood that the suda is over, and now you cannot continue eating until you say birkas hamazon, like Rashi explains over there. Amar le Rava answered Rav Zeira, anan ataka de reish galusa samchinan. We are being soymech on the plate or the table of the reish galusa. Meaning to say, although we did have the intention to now say Birkas Hamazon by taking away the table, nevertheless, our das is that if we get something sent to us by the Beis Reish Galusa, then of course our intention is that we're going to continue eating. So you see that a person is totally mevatel his das to his host, and especially the Reish Galusa. So why then in our sugya do we find out that when a person is in the Beis Reish Galusa and there is wine that's given to him at the end of the Suda, or according to the Rashbam, in the middle of the Suda, why would he have to make a new bracha? Einachanami, he didn't know whether the Reish Galusa is going to send him wine, but it doesn't make a difference because he's totally dependent on the Reish Galusa. So whatever the Reish Galusa decides, that should be keveya in Hilchas Brachas, and it should not depend on whether the person was aware that it's going to come or not. So I believe we can answer this question based on a fundamental understanding in the difference between the halacha that when a person is in the middle of a suda and the suda is not yet over, that the person need not make a bracha on anything that is brought in front of him, and the din that when a person starts drinking yayin and later on more yayin is brought in front of him, that he doesn't have to make a bracha on that new cup of wine. When a person drinks a cup of wine and he makes a bar priya guffin on it, if his intention is that later he will drink yayin, the reason he doesn't have to afterwards make a new bracha on the yayin that they bring in front of him is because the birkas bar priya guffin that he originally made goes on the yayin that he drinks now and the yayin that he drinks later. It is not because of the rule that the Gemara says in brachas, the Mishnah says in Perikates Mevarchim, kol sho ikar v'imoy tfeila mevarch ala ikar upoiter sa tfeila. That means that there is a rule in Hilchas Brachas that when a person makes a bracha on something that is his primary achila, something else that is batal to that thing, that's tuffle to it, is putter because it's considered a chelik of the thing that he's eating now. So if a person is eating something very salty and he needs to eat together with it something to weaken the taste of that salty thing, he makes a bracha on the salty thing because that's his ikar intention, and the thing that helps him, like a cracker together with a very salty piece of fish, the cracker is something that he does not have to make a bracha on because his intention is to eat the fish, and the cracker is tuffle. That is a rule called kol shu ikar v'imay tfeila mevarcha le'ikar u'poiter sa tfeila. In our case, that is not the rule that's operative, because it's not as if the wine that he drinks later is tuffle to the wine that he's drinking now. Rather, a person has the right to make a bracha on this cup of wine if he has intention to drink wine later, so then his bracha patters both the cup that he's drinking now and the cup that he's drinking later. Masha Enkein, if a person is in the middle of a suda and he already made hamoitzi, why is it that later on when he eats a piece of chicken, an hour later, he doesn't have to make a bracha on that piece of chicken? There, all he made was a birkas hamoitzi. The chicken is not a piece of bread. It's because the chicken is a chelik of the suda. And the rule that's operative there is the rule that we mentioned, kol shu ikar v'imay tfeila mevarch ala ikar upoiter sa tfeila. The chicken becomes batal to the suda. Since it's part of the suda, he doesn't have to make a new bracha because it's all included in the original birkas hamoitzi that he made. So there's a difference between the first case where I made a bracha, a bar priya guffin, the original bracha patters both now the drinking that I'm doing now and it patters the drinking that I do later. Masha Ein Kein, in the case of the chicken, the bracha of the hamoitzi goes on the bread, which is the ikar hasuda. Anything else that's part of the suda is tuffle to the suda and doesn't need a bracha. And this is the way Rashi explains this din on Daf Mem Aleph in Brachas. So to sum up the difference, a second glass of wine doesn't need a new bracha because it has the bar priya guffin that you made before. A piece of chicken doesn't need a bracha because it's part of the suda. And the suda had a bracha before. But not that the bracha that you made before goes on the piece of chicken. Rather, it doesn't need a bracha because it's batal to the suda. Once we understand this distinction, we can come back and answer our kasha. In the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Mem Beis that we mentioned, Rava and Reb Zeira were sitting in the Beis Reish Galusa, and they finished their suda, the taco was taken away, the table was cleared. That is, generally speaking, a simen, it's a symbol that the suda is over. However, Rava explained to Reb Zeira that since our host is the Reish Galusa, we're dependent on the Reish Galusa, and our intention really is that our suda is not finished until he decides that it's over. So if he sends us more food, if he sends us a piece of chicken, that piece of chicken, it's automatically incorporated into the Suda. It's also part of the Suda. Masha'enken, in our Gemara, we're dealing with a Birkas Bar Pri HaGafen, whether the original Bar Pri HaGafen goes on the Kais of after the Suda or not. As we explained, the second Kais can only become Pater from a Bracha if the person, when he made the original Bracha, had an intention to drink later. Because the din that it doesn't need a Bracha is not because it's Batal to a Suda, rather because your original bracha was going both on the first kais and on the last kais. In order for your original bracha to pater both the first kais and the last kais, you need that the person's intention when he made the bracha is to pater both kaises. So in the case of the Gemara in Brachis, I don't need that my original hamoitzi should be going in my mind on everything that I'm going to later eat, on every piece of chicken. I don't know the menu that he's going to serve. All I know is that I'm making a bracha on the Suda. Whatever he decides is going to be a chiluk of that Suda is gepatered from a bracha. But that's only because the later menu, as we explained, is pater from a bracha based on its being tuffel to the Suda. However, that is not the case by 2 cups of wine. 2 cups of wine are not putter. The second kais is not putter because it's tuffel to the first kais. Rather, it's putter because it has the original bracha. Now, in order to have the original bracha, you have to have a positive das going on the second kais, just like you have a positive das on the first kais. So even if you're in the house of the Reish Galusa and you have no idea whether the Reish Galusa is going to give you a second kais or not, since you're lacking the positive das, you don't know if he's going to bring it or not, you don't have the positive das knowing that he's going to bring me a second kais, so you don't have the intention to pater the second kais when you make the original bracha. By the piece of chicken in the Gemara and brachas, it's the opposite. You don't have to have the positive das, you just have to be lacking a negative das. And you are lacking a negative das because you're dependent on the Reish Galusa, whatever he decides. So this would answer our question. It happens to be that the Dvar Shmuel asks our question, and he gives a different teretz. And there's going to be a big nafkamina la'alacha between our teretz and the Dvar Shmuel's teretz. Dvar Shmuel says that the only difference between our Gemara and the Gemara over there is that over there, the Reish Galusa's intention all along was to send them this extra portion. Masha'enkin, in our sugya, the Reish Galusa himself was not 100% sure l'chatchilo what is going to be later. The Reish Galusa, it's not like he had an idea that each person is going to get a cup of wine. So he says that when a person is soymech on the Reish Galusa, then it has to be that his das is whatever the Reish Galusa has in his mind at that moment. And if the Reish Galusa himself didn't, when he made the bracha, have in mind that he's going to get the portion later, then it doesn't pater. So according to our pshat, even if the Reish Galusa l'chatchila did not have the intention l'chatchila when you made the Birkas HaMoitzi to send you the portion of chicken later, it makes no difference. Because all you need is that the Reish Galusa makes a decision that this should become part of your meal. And you're open to that. Masha'en Kain, according to the Dvar Shmuel, you need to have that the Reish Galusa's intention originally was to send them the mana, the chicken that he sent them later, whatever the hors d'oeuvres were, and that's because he understands that your original intention is that you're dependent on the Reish Galusa, and however he decides the Suda should look, that's what your intention was b'shas when you make the bracha. After rejecting the Dimyan to the Bei Reish Galusa in our Gemara, the Gemara says that the reason why you have to make a new bracha on a kais of Birkas HaMazon is because as soon as a person says, Havlon v'nivrich, you no longer have the ptur of your original bracha. The Gemara brings down a story that happened with Talmidei de Rav. And the rule is, says Rav, kiven damrisu, havlan v'nivrich, as soon as you say, let's bench itzer l'chula mishti, it becomes usher for you to drink. My taima das chisu daitaichu, you are mesiach das, as soon as you said, havlan v'nivrich. According to Rashi and the Rashbam, what this means is that the person, once he says havlan v'nivrich, he's involved in Birkas HaMazon, and it's usher for him to eat until he says Birkas HaMazon. It's not like he could eat and make a bracha on the food. The Rif holds that it doesn't become usher, it's just that since he was already Masich Das, he has to make a new bracha if he wants to eat something new. The Rabbeinu Yoina holds that since you didn't have yet siluk, like we learned earlier, that you have to remove the table in order to become usher to continue your suda, it's not usher for you to eat, and this is specifically a din l'gabi shtia. That's why it says, itzer l'chu l'mishti. So what asks a person to eat is clearing the table. Until that happens, even if he said havlam v'nivruch, he's still allowed to eat, but he's not allowed to drink. Now that third sheet of the Rabbeinu Yoina needs explanation, because at least according to Rashi and Rashbam and the Shitas Arif, we can understand that Havlon v'nivrich is like Birkas HaMazon, as we will soon explain, which is a Hesach HaDas. Once it's a Hesach HaDas, it's considered like the Suda is over. The only difference between Rashi and the Rif is that, according to Rashi, once the Suda is over, and he said Havlon v'nivrich, there's a Chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon immediately, and you're not allowed to partake of any Suda until you actually say Birkas HaMazon. Mashenkin, according to the Rif, it may be a Hesach HaDas, but you don't have a Chiyuv to say Birkas HaMazon. So, since there's a Hesach HaDas, you need a new bracha. According to the Rabbeinu Yoina, we have to understand, either it's a Hetz Chadas or it's not. If it's a Hetz Chadas, then you should be mechuyev to make a new bracha even on Achila. If it's not a Hetz Chadas, then why legabi shtia do you have to make a new bracha? However, in light of what we explained earlier, to be miyashiv the stir between the two sugyas, the sugya here and the sugya in brachas, we can explain the Rabbeinu Yoina as follows. Lo'olam, he holds that the Hetz Chadas that happens with Havlon v'nivrich is not a Hetz Chadas from your sugya. It's only a Hetzach HaDas from your bracha. And as we already explained, there's a difference between the achila that a person is allowed to eat without a bracha because something is a part of his suda, and the shtia that a person is allowed to drink when he's drinking a second glass of wine, not because it's a part of your suda, but because it has the original bracha. So if we say havlon v'nivruch is a Hetzach HaDas from your bracha, then the Rabbeinu Yoina is beautiful. There's a Hetzach HaDas from your bracha. In order to have a p'tur for a new glass of wine, you need it to be considered a chelik of the original bracha. They're such that the original bracha went on the first glass of wine and also on this glass of wine. Once you have Hetzach HaDas from that bracha, you no longer are connected to the bracha from before. Masha Ein Kein, Legabi Inyani Achila, you don't have to be connected to the bracha, you just have to make sure that it's a part of your Suda, as we explained before. So if you learn that Havlon V'Nivruch is not a Hetzach HaDas from your Suda, we understand the Rabbeinu Yoina. Now, in order to understand properly how Havlon v'Nivruch functions as a Hesach HaDas, we need to analyze a Gemara in Chulan Daf Pei Vav Mebeis, Pei Zayin Amid Aleph. Over there, the Mishnah has a Machloikis, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakama says that if a person shechts 100 chayas in one place, he does one kisui for all of them. Which means that a chaya needs kisui adam. After you shecht, you have to cover the dam with offer. You can take offer and cover all of the dam at once. Meya oifes b'makam echad, a chaya and an oif need kisi adam. So if you shecht 100 in oifis, kisi echad lekulan. Chaya v'oif b'makam echad, kisi echad lekulan. So that's a Tanakama sheet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shechet chaya yichasena, v'achikach yishchir es ha'oif. First, after shechting the chaya, he should cover its dam, and then afterwards he should shecht the oif. The Gemara then says, Amar b'chanina moide hoya Rabbi Yehuda le'inyin bracha she'enu mevarach ala bracha achas. Rabbi Yehuda is moide legabi the din of bracha, that if a person makes a bracha ala shechita, the bracha ala shechita goes on the shechita both of the chaya and the oif, even though he had to stop in the middle and cover the dam of the chaya, and at that moment he wasn't able to shecht the oif. And the Gemara asks from our Gemara, why is it that Talmidei de Rav, we learned in our sugya that Rav told them that as soon as they say Havlon v'Nivruch, they have to stop eating. And so too, by the virtue of the fact that you are chayev to do kisui on the chaya, you should now not be allowed to shecht the oif without making a new bracha. The Gemara answers by saying, Hachi hashta, hasam mishta ubruche bahadi adadi loy efshir. It's impossible to drink and make a bracha at the same time. So the decision to say Birkas HaMazon is automatically a Hesach HaDas from the inyan of shtia. But hacha, in the case of a kisui adam, efshar de shechit bechada or mechatzi bechada, it's possible to shecht with one hand and to do kisui adam with the other hand. Tosfos over there in the Beramaschal Mishta Ubruche Bahadi Adadi Lai Efshar brings down the Rabbeinu Yomtif, who extracts from that Gemara the halacha that if a person decided to daven in the middle of his suda, he cannot continue his suda without a new bracha. And as a matter of fact, he holds, like the Shita of Rashi and Rashbam, that he would be mechuyev now to say Birkas HaMazon, then to wash again and make a new Birkas HaMotzi, because he cannot base his achila from this point on as being part of the old suda. The old suda is over. And obviously that is because the Rabbeinu Yomtov understands the Gemara over there to be saying that it is the actual inability to eat that causes the Hesach Hadas. Since Mishto Brucha Behadi Adad Loi Efshar, since it's impossible to drink and make a bracha at the same time, you're doing an activity that makes it impossible to drink. That in and of itself is a Hesach Hadas. So since it's impossible to daven and eat, or daven and drink at the same time, davening in the middle of the Suda constitutes a Hesach Hadas. Tosfos over there argues on the Rabbeinu Yom Tov, because Tosfos understands that the Gemara does not mean to say that your inability to eat now is a siba, is a reason in and of itself for us to say that you are Mesiach Das. Rather, you have to do something which inherently is called a Hesach Das. When a person makes a decision to bench, to say Birkas Hamazon, that in and of itself is called a Gemar for the Suda. And so too, when a person covers the dam, that is also considered a gemar to the shechita, as the Rishonim say over there in Chulin, that kisui hadam is a gemar to the shechita. It's just that whenever you have something which in and of itself is a gemar, yet you still can theoretically continue doing what you were doing before, such as in the case of kisui hadam, where you could, even though you're involved in a gemar to the shechita, you could also be shechting at the same time, you don't have a Hesach Hadas. But when it comes to Suda, since it's impossible to drink and make a bracha at the same time, we do attach significance to the Birkas Hamazon. But what is the Gemar? The Gemar is not the very fact that you cannot eat. The Gemar is Birkas Hamazon. Birkas Hamazon is inherently a Gemar. Anytime you have a Gemar, which still, during that Gemar, it's possible to continue the old activity, so we don't look at the Gemar as being a complete Gemar. So the machlokes that Tosfos is having with Rabbeinu Yom Tov is whether the svara that the Gemara says of Mishto Bruchei Bahadi Adadi, the fact that you can't drink and make a bracha at the same time, is that a siba in and of itself for Hesach Hadas? Or is the siba the actual Birkas Hamazon or the kisui? It's just that a simin to determine whether that gemar is a complete gemar or not is whether you're forced to cease your old activity or not. Therefore, says Tosfos, tefillah is not inherently a gemar. There's no reason why tefillah in the middle of a suda should be seen as a conclusion to my suda. There's nothing about tefillah that says that I'm stopping my suda. Therefore, even if during the tefillah I cannot eat, it doesn't mean necessarily that I'm being Mesiach Das for my suda. So according to Rabbeinu Yom Tov, it means a Mesiach Das for my Suda because he understands that it's a Siba in and of itself. Anytime you're doing something that you cannot continue your Suda, that's called a Hesach Hadas. It's a Siba unto itself. So to Tefillah, it's also considered a Hesach Hadas. But according to Tosfos, the Hesach Hadas comes from something that is inherently a Gemar, and Tefillah is not inherently a Gemar. There is a third sheet on the Rishonim, and that is the Maram Chalava over here in our Sugya, as well as Rabbeinu David and the Ramban and the Milchamas. They are of the opinion that indeed the svara of Mishto Bruchei Bahadi Adadi is a siba. It's a reason why you would have to make a new bracha, because there's a Hesach Hadas based on the fact that you can't do both things at the same time. Not like Tosfos, who holds that it's only a simon. Nevertheless, they are in agreement with Tosfos that tefillah would not be considered a hefzik, even though tefillah is something that you cannot do achila while you're doing it. And that is because they hold that although what makes your suda end and what makes you be mechuyev to make a new bracha is the fact that it's impossible right now to be eating, that impossibility has to stem from something that you're mechuyev to do. The lashon of the Maram Chalava is v'nimtzenu lemedim delay have a hefzik ela hefzik mechuyev. It has to be a hefzik that it's mechuyev, that you have to do, and it's zman is achshav b'soicha suda. You can't do them at the same time. Bein havi gemar, bein loy havi gemar. Gemar is not the point. It doesn't have to be something that is seen as an inherent conclusion of your suda. Even if Birkas Hamazon was not a conclusion of the suda, since it's something that you must do at some point during the suda, and it's something that you cannot eat while you're doing it, that's called stopping your suda. Masha ein kein tefillah, tefillah is not really something that you have to do now. You could do it before, you could do it after the suda. So even if you choose to do it now, it's not something that is considered a hefzik. So basically we have three shittas. According to the Rabbeinu Yom Tov, anything that you cannot eat while you're doing is considered a hefzik, even tefillah. According to Tosfos, it has to be something that's inherently a gemar, like Birkas Hamazon, provided that it's something that you cannot do achila while you're doing. doing it. And according to these Rishonim, the Ramban and the Ramaram Chalava, the Rabbeinu David, it has to be something that you cannot eat while you're doing it, but it has to be something that you're mechuyev to do now. The Rashbam in Dibra Maschel Aser L'chul L'mishti says that although Birkas HaMazon is considered a hefsik, nevertheless, you don't have to say a bracha achrayna on the yayin before saying Birkas HaMazon. L'fi, says the Rashbam, she Birkas HaMazon poitrosoi, because Birkas HaMazon patters you for the yayin. The hashta, achas mein sholish sagilu, we know that the real bracha that we usually make after yayin is bracha achas mein sholish. We say al ha-gefen, which is a synopsis of Birkas HaMazon, so Birkas HaMazon definitely should work. He says it's a kol shekein. Toisvis, an Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschel Anna, says that there's no kol shekein, because we see in the Gemara in brachas daf mem alf mabeis dvarim haboyim shaloi machmasa suuda achar suuda, which Tosis explains to mean that prior to Birkas HaMazon there would be a practice of eating things that are not but machmasa suuda. It's like a dessert. Those things, it says there, need a bracha lifneim ulachreihim. So you can't bring a kol shekein from the fact that it helps to make a bracha me'ein shalosh, that for sure Birkas HaMazon helps, because you see by those things that since they're not but machmasa suuda, you make a bracha achas mein shalosh, and they're not kipatered from the Birkas HaMazon. Lezer Moshe Horowitz answers very simply that it's true that dvarim haboim shaloi machmas asuda la'achar asuda, you cannot pater them with the Birkas HaMazon. That's because those things are not zayin; they're not soyed; they don't fill a person up. Masha'en ken yayin. The Gemara says in bracha at the beginning of the sixth perek that it's soyed umisameach, and it has a certain quality that it fills a person up. Since it fills a person up, it's similar enough to mazon that you make a Birkas HaMazon on. And even though ordinarily you don't make a Birkas HaMazon on yayin, you yoytze with a bracha achas mein shalosh. But certainly, if you made a Birkas HaMazon on it, it could pater the yayin. Tosfos themselves argue on the Rashbam, and they say that the reason why you don't have to make a bracha after the yayin and you could pater it with the Birkas HaMazon is not because of the kol shekein, since you could be pater it with the bracha achas mein shalosh, certainly you could pater it with Birkas HaMazon, like Tosfos asks. Rather, Tosfos explains that yayin is in the category of dvarim haboim machmas asuda, since it's something that usually accompanies a suda, so it's not like dvarim haboim shaloi machmas asuda that you have to pater them with the bracha achas mein shalosh. It has a din of dvar haba machmas asuda, and therefore it's a cheluk of my suda, and you could pater with the Birkas HaMazon. On the Gemara that says over here that once a person says Havlon v'nivrich, then that's considered like he's finished his Suda, and it's also for him to drink. Tosfos asks that the Gemara says, in Perek Shlosha Sha'achlu, the Gemara brings a story that happened with Yanai HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech conducted a Suda, and since he had killed out all the Chachomim, he didn't have anybody to make a bracha for him, to be moitzim with Birkas HaMazon. So Yanai says to his wife, who is going to bring us somebody that can make a bracha for us? Man yoev lon gavra de mevarich lon. Now she happened to have been the sister of Shimon ben Shetach, who was in hiding, and she said, you have to promise me that you won't do anything to him if I bring him. In the end, when Shimon ben Shetach came, he said, how should I make a bracha? I didn't need anything. I should make a bracha. Baruch she'ochel Yanei v'chaveri mishaloi. I should thank Hashem that Yanei and his friends ate from his food. So he drank the kais that they gave him, and they gave him another kais, and he made a bracha. Now Tosfos here asks that how was it possible for him to be mitzaref to them for their zimun? The din is that you can't be mitzaref to a zimun when the other people already finished their suda. And since in our sugya we learned that havlon v'nivrach means that you finished your suda, and the lashon that was used by Yanni over there was, who is going to come? Man yoevlon gavra. That's like Havlon v'Nivruch. So the Suda was over. How was Shimon ben Shetach able to be mitzaref to the Suda? So Tosfos answers that Eina Chanami, this was Shimon ben Shetach's Das Yochid, as the Gemara is Mavur anyway over there, that Shimon ben Shetach ligarmeyu da of it, because generally speaking, you cannot be mitzaref to a Zimun if all you had was a Kais Yayin. And Shimon ben Shetach was willing to do that, even though all he had was a Kais Yayin. The Rashba over there in Brachas, Dapam Chesemet Aleph, answers Tosis Kasha by saying that even though he said, who is going to say Birkas HaMazon for us, it wasn't like a Havlon v'Nivruch, because he wasn't coming to say, I'm finished my suda and I want a bench now. He was just asking if we better think about somebody who's going to say Birkas HaMazon for us when the time comes. Of course, Lefi the Rabbeinu Yoina that we mentioned earlier, that the din of Havlon v'Nivruch only precludes Shtia from now on, but the suda is not considered finished and you're allowed to continue eating, then there's no Kasha from that Gemara. And indeed, the Gro in Simen Kuf Ayin Tes actually paskins like the Rabbeinu Yoina based on this Gemara. The Gemara says that Rav Ashi held that less hilsa ke Talmidei de Rav. We mentioned earlier that in the story of Talmidei de Rav, it was paskind that as soon as you say havlan v'nivrich, that's already considered a hefsik in itzer l'chu l'mishti. What's Rav Ashi's raya? The hayomtiv shechal liyas achra Shabbos. Our whole sugya about yomtiv that came after Shabbos. And the halacha is Rav paskin that you say yayin kiddush ner havdolah. You start out with the birkas bar pri agafen, and then you're mafsik with kiddush ner and havdolah, and you don't see that we tell you to make another bar pri agafen, even though you are mafsik after the kiddush. So hu adin, if a person makes a bar pri agafen on kiddush, he's not mechuyev after birkas hamazon to make another birkas bar pri agafen, because we don't look at the birkas hamazon as being a hefsik. And the Rashbam Dibra Maschel Va'amar Rav Yakna says v'loy boy levruche birkas bar pri agafen treizimni chara kiddush v'chara havdolah. So the Rashbam in essence is saying that from the fact that we weren't mechayev you to make another birkas bar pri agafen after the havdalah on the same kais shows us that we don't consider the havdalah to be a hefsik, and this, therefore the same thing would hold true when you have two kaises, one for kiddush in the beginning and then one for birkas hamazon. You don't have to make another birkas bar pri agafen on the second kais. Tosfos in Dibra Maschil v'Ka'amar says that is an impossibility because on the same kais ech yevarich pa'mayim bar pri agafen al kais echad. So it can't be that the Gemara is proving from the fact that you don't make a second birkas bar pri agafen. We never would imagine making another birkas bar pri agafen. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that the Gemara's raya is from the fact that they weren't misakin to say the bar pri agafen all the way at the end. Because if indeed there is a hefsik in between the bar pri agafen and the shtia, then it would make sense for them to have a misakin saying the bar pri agafen all the way at the end. According to the Rashbam, though, the raya is from the fact that we didn't say a second bar pri agafen. And the question is, like Tosfos asks, how can we imagine that we would say two times the bar pri agafen on the same kais? Now, theoretically, to be miyashiv of the Rashbam, we could say that all he means when he says v'loy boy levruche birkas bar pri agafen trei zimni, what he means is that we're really proving from the fact that they weren't misakin two kaises, one for Kiddush and one for Avdalah. However, that's not really mashma in the Lashon of the Rashbam, because Lashon Rashbam is V'amar Rav Yakna V'loy boy levruche birkas bar pri agafen trei zimni chara Kiddush v'chara Avdalah V'hu adin l'trei kasi de Kiddush hayom u'birkas hamazon. It sounds like only now, in the Nimshel, that we're trying to prove to, there we're talking about two kasi. But in the case that he's talking about, and he's suggesting that we should say twice bar pri agafen, he's not talking about a suggestion of possibly saying the two times bar pri agafen on two separate kaisis. He only introduces the idea of trei kasi later. So how could we be miyashiv the Rashbam from Tosfos's question? Tosfos is right. Eich yivarech pamayim bar pri agafen al kais echad. I mean, the second bracha would be a bracha levatol. You already said a bar pri agafen on this kais. How could you have on the same exact kais saying twice bar pri agafen? The Dvar Shmuel says a very important yisoy to answer this question. He says that the bar pri agafen of Kiddush is not a birkas hanenin. This isn't considered making two bar pri agafens on the same kais. You never say two bar pri agafens on the same kais when you're dealing with birkas hanenin. Once you patered the kais and it's mutter to drink it, based on one bracha, so the second bracha would be a bracha levatola. However, the birkas bar pri agafen of Kiddush is not a birkas hanenin. It's part of the nusach of Kiddush, and it's part of what makes your Kiddush al hakais. It's not enough to hold the kais and say the words of Kiddush. You have to say a bar pri agafen with the nusach of Kiddush. And therefore, there would have been a half a minute to say that you should say bar pri agafen twice. One for the Kiddush, and then later, after you say the havdalah, you would have to say another bar pri agafen. Because since there was a hefsik, there's no way to be matter the shtia of the kais unless you now say a bar pri agafen. The Gemara then goes and answers Rav Ashi by saying that there's no raya from this din of Yakna. Because says the Gemara, Hasam akar daite mi mishtia, hacha loy akar daite mi mishtia. In the case of Yom Tov Shechali Yisachar Shabbos, you say Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah, the person's intention the entire time was to drink. He was never oikar das from the drinking. Masha Enkein, the person who said Birk Samazin, he already was oikar das from drinking. The Rashbam brings down a girsa, and he says not to be girsa like that girsa. He says, V'nirili de loygar sinan kulu chada birksa arichta ninu. There are some that had the girsa, then instead of just stopping after saying that the person had das to drink, the Gemara added another tam, which is that the entire seder of Yayin Kiddush Ner Avdalah is like one long bracha. Says the Rashbam, that's a ribui loshin shalei litzarichu shekvar pirish time yafe mishem blei akar daitim mishtia. We already explained ourselves. You don't have to continue by saying that it's one long bracha. The fact that the entire time you had das to drink is enough. And the truth is that the Gemara's Havamina is very strange, because it was clear all along that the reason why we said that you have to make a new bracha is because it was impossible to drink during the time. As soon as the person said Havlam v'nivrach, you're not allowed to drink, and he was Mesiach Das. Mashenkin over here, he had intentions. So what was the Gemara's Havamina? So the Rishonim that we mentioned earlier, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu David, the Maram Chalava, they all explain what the Gemara's Havamina was, and they are goyrus, like the Girs of the Rashbam says, not to be goyrus. Because if you'll remember, there was a machloikis between the Rabbeinu Yomtif and Toisfis and these Rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara in Chulin says, Mishta uvruche bahadi adadi efshe, that you're not allowed to drink and make the bracha at the same time. According to the Rabbeinu Yomtif and these Rishonim, we explained, the fact that you cannot drink while you're saying Birkas Hamazon is in and of itself a siba why we say that you're Mesiach Das. You cannot continue after Birkas Hamazon drinking without a bracha based on your original bracha, because you were in a state where it was impossible for you to drink, and that in and of itself is a Siba to facilitate Hesachadas. Of course, according to those Rishonim, it has to be an inability to drink that was offset by something that you're Mechuyev, but we know that it was all based on the fact that you were not capable of drinking during that time. According to Tosfos, that wasn't the pshat. The reason why you're considered as having been Mesiach Das is not because of your inability to drink. Rather, it's because it's inherently a gemar. Something that's inherently a gemar, as long as it has the tenai that you're not capable of drinking during that gemar, then we say that it's a real Hesach Das. So say the Ramban and the Ramchalava and the Rabbeinu David, over here also, in the case where a person said Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah, at the moment that the person is saying Kiddush, even though he already said the Birkas Hayayin, but he's doing something which during that activity he's not capable of drinking. And it's something that he's mechuyev to do now. So the Kiddush you can answer by saying it's no different than any other Kiddush. Every time a person makes Kiddush, so after the Birkas Bo'i Per Gafen, he says Kiddush. And we don't find you have to say another Bo'i Per Gafen, because that's part of the Seder. But when it's Yantav Shechali Yisachar Shabbos, there's something else that you do. You say Havdalah, and Havdalah is also something that you have to be doing now. And during the Havdalah, you're not capable of drinking. So it's very clear what the Gemara's Raya was from the case of Yakna. The Gemara was saying that since over there we see that you're not mechuyev to go and make another Birkas Bo'i Per Gafen afterwards, even though during the time that you were saying Havdalah, you were not able to drink, I don't care that it was your das the entire time to drink. And still, it was impossible for you to drink. And nevertheless, we don't tell you to make another Bo'i Per Gafen. So hu adin, Birkas Hamazon. Adds the Gemara a new tam. And that's why they're goyrus, these words in the Gemara. The Gemara adds the svara that kulu chada birchsa richtaninu. It's all one long bracha. Since it's all one long bracha, it's different than the case where you first said Kiddush before the Suda, and then you said birchsa mazin after the Suda. Then we see the birchsa mazin as being a hefsa because it was impossible to drink while you were saying birchsa mazin. But over here, since it's kulu chada birchsa ninu, it's one elongated bracha, then we don't look at it as a hefsik, and that's why the Gemara had to add that time. So the Rashbam may have learned like Tosfos in Chulin, who says that it's not really because of your inability to drink, rather something that's a gemar, and if you understand that it's something that's a gemar, then it's clear why over here you can't bring a raya. It's because you're planning on drinking the entire time. There was no gemar. It wasn't inherently a gemar when you said Havdalah. As you were saying Havdalah, you were planning on drinking afterwards.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the DAF worldwide. We need your help to continue our mission. To find out about dedication opportunities, visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.